The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Hot Ice.
All right, just a minute. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm closed up for the evening.
Yeah, so open up again. We got business.
Come on, you hear him open up.
Hey, look in.
Sure, we know all about it. Close the door, Gus.
Right.
Well, nice shop you got here, Pop.
Mister, if this is a stick-up, you can have all I've got. Just don't hurt me.
We don't want you, Joe, and we're not hurting anybody. Like I told you, we're here on business.
What kind of business?
The hard kind, Pop. Diamonds.
Diamonds in a vegetable store?
It's okay, Pop. Sid Carbo sent us.
So why didn't you say so right off? I could have a heart attack. What kind of diamonds you want?
What kind you got?
All kinds. You can pick your choice. Here. Have a look at these 3, 4 carats.
Yeah.
And these over here, mostly ones and twos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad, huh, Gus?
Yeah.
Can't tell them from the real thing.
Well, listen, my merchandise, even an expert can't tell.
So Sid Carbo told me. Okay, that's enough trays. Give us a dozen, maybe, each.
Sid told you I'd deal strictly cash?
He told me, don't worry.
What's a tad, Pop?
Dozen of these, dozen of the fives, dozen of these here, 2 dozen of the 3s and 4s. I'll make a friendly price of $350.
$350? Isn't that a little steep?
Listen, I don't even know you. You're only a recommendation. You want fine merchandise, you gotta pay for it.
Okay, wrap them up. Gus, pay them.
Anything else tonight? Rubies? Emeralds? I'm running a special in jade.
No, just the diamonds.
All right. That'll be $350, please.
Yeah. Here you are.
And 65 cents tax.
65. Yeah. There you are.
65, right. All right, call again, gentlemen.
Uh-huh. Here, can I carry this?
Yeah, sure. Harry.
Yeah?
You sure this is going to work out all right?
It's going to work out all right. Stop worrying. What time is Margie through at the club?
She don't get off till about 2 in the morning.
Okay, you call her now and tell her to meet us over in my room.
Me call her?
Oh, she's your wife, isn't she?
Well, yeah.
Call her. Tell her we don't want any more stolen guests. We're ready to pull this deal now, and she's got to work her end of it.
Wanted by the FBI for fraud and impersonation, Harry Hensel and Gus Wiley, with aliases and descriptions to follow. All law enforcement agencies are requested to be on the watch for these men who have successfully organized a new swindle and have already succeeded.
That's all there is to it, Margie. You introduced me to Joe Kenton, and your end of the job is through.
I won't do it. Joe's been good to me.
Margie, please. Harry, she don't mean it. Drink up, Margie. She don't mean it, Harry.
No?
Look, Harry, Joe's a good guy. He gave me a job when I needed one. He pays me nice money.
Yeah, I know. Guess what's the matter? You can't handle your own wife?
Sure I can.
Why pick on Joe Kenton?
Why? Because he's dough heavy, that's why. Because he'll fall for any racket that looks like an easy dollar.
I just won't do it, Harry.
Margie, honey, don't give me you'll do it, you won't do it.
Don't upset him, please, Margie.
Don't upset him? Well, love him, Mike. Do you have to do everything Harry does? Haven't you got a head of your own?
You don't need a head. I do his brain work for him.
Margie, please, huh?
No good, Gus. He'll get us in trouble. Now tell him you're backing out of this deal.
Go on. Tell me, Gus.
I'm not backing out of anything, Margie.
Of course he's not. We're partners. And if he ever did try to back out on me, I got enough on your ever-loving to send him to jail for the next 10 years.
Oh, cut that kind of talk, will you, Harry?
Oh, that's up to you. Now, look, Margie, I'm through fiddling around. Tomorrow night, you're fixing it for me to meet that Kenton. What time did you check your last hat?
I'm not going along on this, Harry.
Around 1:30, Harry.
Okay, I'll be there at 1. When you get a break, come over to my table and bring along Joe Kenton. From there
Harry,
on, we...
please, don't ask me to do this.
Who's asking? You'll do it. You wouldn't want anything to happen to Gus, would you? You know me. I don't fool around. Tomorrow night, you introduce me to Kenton. I'm an old friend of yours from Chicago. I'm not asking, Margie. You do it.
Back to Hot Ice in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley Spearmint Gum is that it helps keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist, helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. Of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Hot Ice.
Mr. Kenton, this is a friend of mine from Chicago, Mr. Harry Hansel, Mr. Joe Kenton.
Sit down, Mr. Hansel. We can talk in here.
Oh, thanks.
So, how have you been enjoying our town these last few weeks?
Great, Mr. Kent. New York's a nice place to visit, only you know what they say.
I sure do. How about a cigar?
No, thanks.
Imported? Havana?
No, not for me. But you go ahead.
Nothing like good old New York. For kicks, anyway.
I see. Of course, I've been spending most of my time right here in your club. But when you got a chorus like that and check girls like Margie...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Drink, maybe?
No, thanks.
Strictly business, huh?
Okay,
what's on your mind?
Well, Mr. Kent.
Leave it, Joe.
Okay, Joe, here's the story. I got a chance to make 20,000 fish in one morning's work. I need 5,000 to finance a deal.
Go on.
I got a connection coming in on the flight from Amsterdam Friday morning. My connection's bringing in a box of ice that he'd let me have for 5G's American money.
I'd go into a deal on hot diamonds, Harry?
Well, I don't want you in on a deal. All I want is the 5Gs. I get this box of stones Friday morning for 5. I already have a buyer ready to take it off my hands Friday afternoon for 20. 15,000 profit. We split it, 60-40.
Why come to me?
Do I look like I carry around 5Gs?
No.
Well, that's why. There's no risk on your part, Joe.
You could walk off with my 5,000. That's no risk.
Yeah, I could, but I could also draw a slug through my gut if I did.
Uh-huh. And all I have to do is advance you the 5,000.
Not me. You give it to my air connection. He'll meet us in the bar out at Idlewild.
Friday morning. I don't get up till mid-afternoon.
Oh, you send someone. It's an easy 60-40. The whole deal will take only a couple hours. Of course, if you're not interested...
No, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Supposing I think it over, Harry, on a 50-50 basis.
50-50, huh? Okay. I heard you were a sharp operator. You think it over, Joe. And if you decide you want to come in, well, I'll be more than glad to accommodate you.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Good morning, Miss Gilbert.
Good morning, Mr. Reynolds. I have a message for you, sir. Agent Stevens said he wanted to see you in his office as soon as you came in.
Morning, Steve. You want to see me?
Yeah, come on in, Dave. Be with you in just a second. How's the Cleveland trip?
Fair enough. What are those?
All letters I've got to sign and get out. Pull up a chair.
Thanks.
Howard Stevens. And Howard Stevens. Okay, I'm set. Oh, here, a teletype from the Chicago office. You want a copy for your files.
Will I?
I think so. They've got a lead on the Harry Hensel case.
Hensel? You mean we're finally getting a break on that one?
Maybe.
Stool Pigeon?
Men's tailor in Chicago. He saw our wanted circular in the post office and recognized Harry as one of his customers.
A tailor?
Yeah. Seems he's been making clothes for our boy for the last 10 years. Keeps a pattern for him in the shop. Harry's very fussy about his clothes, it seems.
So
So?
So when he's out of town and needs clothes, he writes to the tailor, gets samples, and the clothes are shipped to wherever he is.
That could be a pretty good lead.
That's what the Chicago field office thinks.
When was Hensel's last order for clothes?
3 months ago, from a hotel in New York.
3 months ago?
We'll check the hotel, but he's probably moved since then.
Probably. But I like this lead.
So?
When do we start for New York?
We've already started. We pick up our tickets at noon at the airport.
That fast?
Well, considering the damage Harry can do with a simple box of paste.
Okay, I guess you're right. Let's go.
Proposition, Harry. You can count me in.
That's swell, Joe. I'll get in touch with my air connection the minute he steps off the plane.
Okay. I'll have one of my boys meet him at Idlewild. Give me a call when you're ready.
Right, Joe. I'll call you at the club. And Joe...
Yeah?
Thanks. You won't regret this.
So long, Harry. Be seeing you.
So long, Joe. Yeah, what'd I tell you, Gus? It's all set.
Yeah, you sure know how to line them up, Harry.
I'm a craftsman, Gus, I admit it. Now all we gotta do is get in touch with Sid Carbo.
Harry?
Yeah?
Do we have to call in Sid?
What?
I mean, why don't we just take the 5 G's?
Take the 5 G's, you penny pusher. I told you I'm playing this Kenton for the top stake.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm playing him for 50. Maybe 100 grand. With that kind of dough, we gotta build confidence.
Yeah, I know, Harry.
Look, stupid. You think I could go to a guy I hardly know like Kenton and ask him for $100,000? He'd throw me out in my ear, wouldn't he?
Well, sure.
He's gotta be convinced I'm the most level guy in town. So, setting Sid up as a customs character is the way we convince him, knucklehead.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Harry.
Of course I'm right. Establish confidence. Build a prospect. You can go the limit.
You calling Sid?
Yeah.
How much is he going to charge us? That Sid runs high.
I know, but for acting like customs, you got to pay out pretty good. $50, I figure.
Yeah?
Hello, Sid. It's me.
Hello, Al.
This isn't Al.
Max?
This is Harry, you lame brain.
Harry, what can I do for you?
If you're not busy Friday morning, I can do for you. Same type operations last time, only this time it's customs. Interested?
Same money as last time.
50 fish.
I'm interested.
Okay. Be at Idlewild Bar Friday 11. You know what to do.
I'll be there. Idlewild Friday 11. Customs.
So long, Sid.
So long, Harry.
Okay, that's done. Now let's get your end of the deal straight.
I know what I'm supposed to do, Harry.
I don't want any mistakes.
No mistakes, no mistakes. Only I still say if we took the 5 G's...
Never mind what you say. You play this my way, and I'll show you how to parlay hot ice into a cool 50 grand fish.
Go on. Then what happened?
Well, then Eddie gives this guy off the plane the 5,000. He starts to give Eddie the box of ice.
Harry Hensel is sitting there with him.
That's what Eddie said to tell you, right with him.
Okay, go on.
Well, I'm trying my best to remember what he said, Mr. Kenton. Maybe if you wait till
No, no, no. You're doing fine, Margie. Go ahead.
I mean, it's hard someone tells you something all excited over the phone.
Well, sure it is, but you're doing great. Now, go ahead. What happened then?
Well, then, all of a sudden, the guy gets this fancy look on his face, and next thing you know, a uniform comes up to the table, says customs, and pinches the guy.
And then?
Then Harry Hensel gives Eddie a nod, starts to argue with customs, and Eddie slips out the back door and calls the club on the phone when you're still in bed getting shut-eye.
And my 5,000's out the window.
I guess. Eddie said tell you sorry, Mr. Kenton.
Sorry, that's a great help. If I ever get my hands on that Harry Hensel... Yeah, what is it? If I ever get
Hello,
my...
Joe. I got here as fast as I could. Oh, hi, Margie. How are you?
Well,
beat it, Margie.
Sure, Mr. Kenton. I was just going.
Okay, Hensel, say your piece and it better be good.
Here's your $5,000, Joe. Sorry the deal slipped up.
Huh?
You didn't think Harry Hensel would let you hold a bag, did you? Yeah. 5,000 even. Go on, take it.
I don't get this, Harry.
No? Well, it's simple. As soon as we spotted that customs character, my air connection slipped me back the 5.
I don't mean that. I mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean. But you trusted me. I got to play square with you. Who knows? Maybe another deal comes up sometime. A big deal, maybe. So who's the guy that played square with you, Joe? Huh?
Back to hot ice in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals. Especially when you want to go light, chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling. Yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over until mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling, but want to go light, chew a stick of this good-tasting gum. That's Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Act three of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War. Hot Ice.
Confidential. Harry Hensel case. Agent Reynolds and I continuing check of New York address. Getting good background on Hensel. Definitely believe he's still in city. We'll keep you informed of developments. Sign it, Stevens.
Come in, Margie. Come on in. Eddie, pull up a chair for Margie. Sit down, honey. Make yourself comfortable.
Well, thanks.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Not well on the job, huh?
That's it.
Margie, we like you here at the club. You know that.
I like you here, Mr. Kenton.
Uh-huh. Margie, Eddie saw you going to the movies this afternoon. He wants to ask you something about it.
It's a swell movie, Eddie.
That's not what he wants to ask you.
What then?
Who was the guy with you?
Who?
Who?
Well, why do you want to know?
Who is he, Margie?
He's my husband. Why?
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks.
That's all?
That's all. You can go back to the check room now.
What has Gus got to do with it?
I think you know, but we'll discuss that later.
All right. I'm not going to get fired, am I? I could have told you I was married. Only
we'll discuss it later, Margie. Close the door, huh? Eddie, you and the boys fix it so that she doesn't talk to that husband of hers for the next 48 hours. I don't want her to tip anything off. I'm going to play sucker, Eddie. I'm going to give Harry Hensel a big hunk of rope and let him choke on it. Hello, operator. I want to speak to the FBI. I don't know the number.
Now, you got everything straight, Sid?
Sure.
Yes? Sure. I just got out of the pokey. They couldn't hold me on account of lack of evidence. I got a new box of ice.
Okay, you got it. Now, only one change in the routine, Sid. This time, when you pinch Gus, you take me along, too.
You and the 50 G's.
That's right, me and the 50 G's. Only this time, Joe Kenton don't ever see me again. That's the routine. Let's get to work on it. There he is, Gus. Last booth on the right.
Yeah, that's not the guy we saw last time.
I told you, Joe said he was sending another boy.
No, he's got the 50 G's. Hey, there's Sid.
Where?
Over there in the corner.
Okay, here we go. Stevens?
That's right. You, Mr. Hensel?
That's right, and this is my connection, Gus Wiley.
Pleased to meet you, Wiley.
Yeah, same here.
Well, shall we pull up a chair and get down to business?
Suits me.
You brought the money?
No. You brought the ice?
Sure did. Right off the plane. Gus got it wrapped up for you in a velvet box.
So, Stevens?
So, Wiley, if you don't mind, would you open the box so I could look at the ice?
Open it?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Joe don't trust me?
$50,000's an awful lot of money, Hansel.
All right. Well, open it, Gus.
Open it?
Why not?
That's right, why not?
So, open it.
All right.
Joe, don't trust me.
And after the way I treated him like my own brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Hand me one of those stones, will you, Hansel?
Yeah. Here you are. Beautiful, isn't it?
Thanks.
Hey. Hey, what are you, crazy? Stop that.
You out of your head, Stevens. You want to scratch that stone?
Uh-huh. I wanted to make sure.
He's crazy.
Careful. You could scratch that, man.
You can't scratch diamonds.
You can't?
Well, what do you mean you can't?
Just that. A diamond is the hardest substance known.
You can't scratch it, huh?
Can't scratch it. But you can scratch paste.
Paste?
That's what this is, paste. The rest of them, too.
He's nuts.
Oh, no, he isn't. There's something funny going on here, and I'm...
All right, gents, stay where you are. You're all under arrest.
Oh, my...
Don't try anything funny now, gents. I'll take that there package, thanks.
Well, who are you?
United States Customs.
Customs?
That's right. Now, what's in this package?
Paste.
Huh?
Paste. I just tested it.
What?
Don't pay any attention to him, mister. He's just trying to save us.
What? Well,
he's just trying to save us. We don't even know him.
Yeah? What's your name, mister?
Stevens.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah, well, that... You what?
See, I told you, he's crazy.
Not quite, Gus. Here are my credentials. Okay, Dave.
Hey, what is this?
This is Agent Reynolds, also of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Harry.
No offense, all of you stay where you are.
Harry, I don't get it.
Oh, well, neither do I.
Neither do I.
Well, you'll get it down at headquarters, I promise you. All three of you will get it. Come on, let's go. Harry Hensel, Gus Wiley, and Sid Carbo were indicted in a conspiracy charging fraud and impersonation of a government officer. All three were brought to trial, convicted, and sentenced to 5 years each in prison. Thus, the freeze set in on hot ice.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it, and you can chew a stick just about any time and any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for the whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Harry Hensel. Elspeth Eric was Margie Wiley. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, the Father Leon story, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Taking a vacation this winter, perhaps down to Florida, or just